Now, I don't know how you segue from... Please sit down. Yeah, that's done. We're done. I don't know how you segue from the goodness of God to condiments. Do you? Has anybody got any idea how we could segue quite easily from the goodness of God to condiments? Does everyone know what a condiment is? It's sort of something that you add on to a meal, so something extra. So, for example, how many of you had cranberry sauce with your turkey this week? Not as many as I thought. Anybody have mustard with ham this week? Yes, okay. What sort of mustard? English mustard? Dijon mustard? Dijon? Oh, my goodness. Whole grain mustard? Oh, there's so many mustards, aren't there? You see, the whole array of condiments now. I think we've made the transition now, haven't we, from the goodness of God to condiments. And there's so many other things as well, particularly at Christmas. I don't know whether this is really a condiment, but it's pickled walnuts. Has anybody had pickled walnuts this Christmas? Just me and Kerry. And to be honest, this was Kerry's first year, I think, that she's ever eaten a pickled walnut. Can I recommend them to you for next year, okay? You only find them in the shops around Christmas, although I did go into the supermarket yesterday and they still have them on the shelf, okay? Pickled walnuts, they are delicious, honestly. You're not convinced, are you? I can recommend, anyway, make a note of it for next year's shopping list and you can have it. Or gherkins, anybody have gherkins this Christmas? Yeah, a few gherkin eaters, good. Okay, I'm not sure they're really condiments, but this morning I wanted to test out a few condiments, and I've got three condiments on here this morning, okay, that you could possibly have. Anybody have tomato ketchup this week? Yeah, what did you have it on? Sausage? Chips? Burgers? Turkey? Yeah, I don't know. No, okay, I've got some... Levi Roots reggae sauce. Anybody have reggae sauce this week? No? Okay. This is going well. And I've got Tesco Finest Caesar dressing. Yes, thank you. Well done, Deb. Supporting Tesco's. Well done. I appreciate that indeed. Well done. Okay, so I thought this morning we'd test out how long it takes for each of these condiments to come out of their bottle, all right? Because was anybody around in the 1980s or 90s? Don't be shy. It's okay. That was a good period of time. Not as good as the 70s, but you know, the 80s and 90s were okay. Well, there was an advert running by Heinz tomato ketchup. Does anybody remember the advert for Heinz tomato ketchup? So a guy went up a building, a very tall building. And he opened up his jar of tomato ketchup and he put it on its side at a slight angle. He ran all the way down to the bottom to the hot dog stand. He ordered his hot dog. He held out his hot dog behind his hand like this. And at just that moment, the tomato ketchup plopped down onto his hot dog. Does anybody remember that advert, or is it only me? Yeah, a few of you remember that advert. It was great. And the slogan is, I can't remember what the slogan is now. I've got it somewhere. Let me do it. I can't even read what I've written there. That's terrible, isn't it? Oh, that's right, yeah. The best things in life come to those who wait, okay? Now, a very popular Irish drink also carried that slogan, which you might remember, Guinness. They had an amazing advert where they had guys on their surfboards and they went into the sea and the surf turned into wild horses. Do you remember that one? Tick-tock. You can Google it later. It's an amazing advert. I didn't think we should show it here because of children in the room, but I've just explained it to you. But the best things in life come to those who wait, okay? Okay, so I need three volunteers this morning who'll just come and help me judge, we'll all judge, which ones take the longest to come out of their bottles. Could I have a tomato ketchup volunteer, please, this morning? Jonah, thank you. George, you're going to go for the reggae sauce, I think. Yeah. This one, yeah. And I need a Caesar dressing. Somebody posh for Caesar dressing. Nobody posh in the room, okay. Somebody, come and help me this morning. Turn a bottle over. You don't have to do anything else. Thank you, Claire. Okay. So, we're going to have a bit of a competition. So, no shaking the bottle. No banging the bottle. You're just going to take the lid off and hold it over. Please hold it over there. I've kept the cover on the table, okay, just to be safe as well. And we're going to see how long it takes for each of these to come out of the bottle, okay? You can turn it directly up. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Maybe you want to have a guess as to which one. Keep it to yourself. Which one you think would be the quickest? Which one the slowest? No shaking, no tapping, no cheating, okay? I'm probably going to have to help you take this off because this is a child-proof bottle, okay? Yeah? So shall I open it for you? And although you're probably stronger than me, let's see your muscles. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're good. Well done, Jonah. Good job. Okay, so we're going to wait and see which one comes. So no shaking, not even yourself. All right, George, don't shake yourself either, okay? And we're going to go for it. So shall I just... Hang on a minute. Whatever it is. Okay, have you got your favourite? Okay, if it does pour out very quickly, because I haven't done a test on this, then before it overflows, just turn it back again, okay? Okay, on your marks, get set, go! Okay, right, I'll carry on while we're waiting. Oh, George. Oh, George, that's it, mate, that's it. Oh, and the Caesar salad has started. Oh, a little drip. Don't shake it, Jonah, don't shake it. The Caesar salad is coming. Second, the tomato ketchup. Right, okay. Right, I think George and Claire, you can go and sit down. Jonah, you stay there for a little bit longer, please. Okay. Okay, right, Jonah, you carry on holding it and I'll... So, what are you waiting for in 2024? And how long are you going to wait? I know you're not looking at me, that's absolutely fine, but listen, okay? Listen. You don't need to listen by looking at Jonah. How long are you prepared to wait for the things you long for in 2024? And in fact, what are you waiting for? Because that's more to the point, I suppose. Jonah, will you just give a little cheer when it comes out so I know that it's happened, okay? All right, are you okay there? Do you need some help? Yeah. Yeah, I think Louis better come and help you, don't you? Yeah, I think we'll get Louis up here today. But you're doing fantastic. Now, I don't know if you remember Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, you've got to be old to remember him. He was the United States Secretary for Defense under Gerald Ford and also George W. Bush. And in the 12th of February 2002, he said this very famous quote, okay, has its own Wikipedia page. He said this, "Reports that say that something hasn't happened are always interesting to me because, as we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know that there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know." You tracking all right with this? "But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know." That is a quote, isn't it? I just love that quote. There are known knowns. So some of us, we're going into 2024, and we know that there are some things going on. We know them already. They're maybe already in your diary. There are other things that are known unknowns. We know there are going to be things that we don't know yet, but we know that. But there will also be things that we have no clue as to what is going to happen in 2024. The unknown unknowns. It's going really well. I'm so pleased about this. I'm glad it worked out that way, because I didn't test it beforehand. I couldn't afford two bottles of everything. So, how can people who follow Jesus step into 2024 with its known knowns, with its known unknowns, but also with those unknown unknowns? The things we have no clue are going to be happening. How do we step into 2024 even with all of that going on? Well, I want to look at Simeon and Anna briefly this morning. Great characters as part of this ongoing Christmas story. It's coming. Good. I did send it to Tom this time. I apologize to Tom. Christmas Eve, I didn't send the PowerPoint to him. So it was my fault completely. Simeon and Anna, they were people who were waiting for God to do something. They knew that something was going to happen, and they were ready to see it. In Luke chapter 25 and verse 28, this is what we read. How are you doing, guys? Does it look as if it's even started to move yet? No. Oh, I think there's a little bit of something in the bowl there, isn't there? But nothing much. It has moved from the top. Okay, just keep going for the moment. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 28. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Wow, imagine Simeon waiting all this time, and this was the day. There was a man who was ready and waiting. Well, what happened to him? Not doing well with this morning, am I? Okay. Can we just go on to the next one, or is it me? Oh, there we are. Firstly, Simeon, how was he waiting? He was available. He was in the place that he needed to be, and the text says he continued to be devout and righteous. See, whatever was going on around him, whatever was happening around him, whatever was happening to him or to the nation, or this waiting and longing for the Messiah to come, whatever was happening, he was not disappointed that the Messiah still hadn't come. He continued to be devout and righteous, consistently living the way that God had invited him to live, matching his life with his expectation. And in that day, he saw Jesus when others didn't, because he was available, because he was devout and righteous, and nothing had stopped him doing that. There was no sense of disappointment, it hadn't happened yet. There was no sense of, I'm getting older and older and I still haven't seen it. No, no, no. He just kept being righteous and devout. He was available because of that. Ready and willing, available. Even in the uncertainty of, is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? Is God's promise really going to come through? No, no, no. He was ready and available for that particular moment. And there was the day that he saw it happen. And that's what I think all of us need as we step into the new year. To continue to be the people who are available. Continue to be devout and available and righteous, no matter what is happening or hasn't happened, no matter the known knowns, the unknown unknowns, the known, whatever it is, be available. I'm available. And our life as we live it says that to God for his timing to come into fruition. He was also looking as well. He was looking for the consolation of Israel, for the comfort and encouragement of Israel. He was looking. He had a word from God. He was listening, so he heard. He was in that posture of listening, and then he was able to respond. When he saw what other people didn't see on that day, he responded, because he knew that God is a promise keeper. And the promises he's made to you over many years, perhaps, maybe you're just remembering some of them, God is a promise keeper, and he will do it at the right time. And you can respond. I've seen Jesus. I've seen what he can do. His light and his glory. I've seen it. So there was a man. And he was available. Because he lived the sort of life that God invited him to live. He was looking and listening. And then he responded to what God did. What a great posture that would be for us in 2024. It's getting painful now, isn't it, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're longing for it to happen, aren't we? Aren't you longing for this tomato ketchup to come out? Yeah? This could take till next year, I think, couldn't it? Well, that's only tomorrow, having said that, so, but... And it is that sense of longing, isn't it? For God to do something. And what do? We're watching. We're listening. We're available. We respond when it happens. Because when that happens, there's going to be an almighty cheer burst out in this place, isn't there? We will leave the lights on for you after we've gone, all right, so don't worry. let me read you something Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at table, and will come and wait on them. See, there's a whole reversal. The master starts waiting on the servants. When he comes again, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And this was the hour for Simeon, but there was a man who was ready for what God wanted to do. In Luke chapter 2, back to our story, in verse 36, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, at that very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, there was also a prophet, Anna, available. She never left the temple, looking, longing, awake, actively ready for the moment when God would show up. She never gave up. 84 years. She had known sadness and deep sorrow in her life, a widow for many years. The footnote in my Bible says she was a widow for 84 years, made her very old. She was used to waiting for consolation, for comfort, but she kept looking for it and she kept listening for it, fasting, worshiping, praying. You see how you get ready for what God wants to do next? Worshipping, fasting, praying. And then she responded. She noticed. She noticed what God was doing. And she stepped into that place that he had invited her to. Whew, this is taking a lot of patience. But then she gave thanks for the child. And what does the text say? She told everyone about this child. See, these are people who are prepared for this moment. And that's what happened to Simeon and Anna, prepared for what God was going to do, and they were ready. So how are you going to get ready for 2024? There's a few hours left. You may have been waiting throughout 2023, and nothing you long for has happened yet. And yet in 2024, you're asked to start again, to long and wait again. Some of us here, we have something very specific we're waiting for. Some of us, we may never even know when the right time is, but there will be a right time. And in all those times, he calls you to wait. You see, there was a man in Jerusalem, and there was a prophet, but it's not going well. We got the next one? There is also you. There is also you. And God invites you to wait, to be part of the next stage of his plan in this next year. We'll click over the next one. Yeah, give it a bang, Jonah. Come on, give it a bang. I'm waiting for the cheer. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Louis. It's not moving. Isn't that amazing? Come on. Louis, come on. Give it a shake. Yay! Oh my goodness. Woo! And maybe some of us, we need a bit of a shake, do we? We need a bit of a shake to get going, and God is firstly going to shake us up before we're the people who respond to what it is he longs to do. So how will you wait well? Can we go to the next slide, please? I've given up with the clicker. But develop the position of your heart that says, I'm available. That's the first thing to do. Develop the position of your heart. It says to God, I'm available. When you're worshiping, fasting, praying, whatever God is calling you to, devout and righteous, whatever it is you do, that affects the position of your heart. So develop it and say to God, I'm available. Secondly, bring your presence into God's present. Because that says, I'm looking. I'm looking to see, God, what you are going to do next. I'm actively looking to see you at work. Bring your present, the moment, into God's present, where he is at that particular time. Trust in God. Even if I cannot see what he's doing at this particular time, I'm trusting who he is. I'm trusting that he's doing something. Simeon went to the temple courts. Anna never left the temple. They brought their presence into God's presence and said to him, I'm looking. Thirdly, practice spending time with God. That says to God, I'm listening. Practice spending time with him. Get closer to God's whisper, because that's often how he speaks, as a whisper. And when he's whispering, you have to get closer to hear him. And that's what he wants you to do, to get closer. And you can choose to escape from what God is saying, or you can choose to encounter what God is doing. That's the choice. So practice spending time with him. Simeon had a revelation by the Holy Spirit. Anna went up to them. That's how they got involved in what God was doing. And fourthly, make a positive move in God's direction. That says to God, I'm responding. I'm responding to what you're doing. I may not feel totally adequate for this moment. I'm not quite sure what this means. I don't quite know whether I am really the right person that you've called, but I'm going to come closer to you because I'm going to respond. Notice what God is doing. Be available to join in, and then you'll be able to point people to Jesus, just like Simeon did and Anna did. They pointed people to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God is what John the Baptist said. Let's go and follow him. Praise God, give thanks to him, and allow him to use you. It's worth the wait. And he thinks it's worth the wait as well. At the beginning of this little passage with Simeon and Anna, this is what we read. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph took this moment 8 days after the birth of Jesus to bring Jesus into the temple, as the law said, to present him as an offering to God, and they made a sacrifice in that moment. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And I guess at the end of the year, it's good to make that commitment again to us, to say, God, I'm giving you myself today, a living sacrifice, available to you, for you to do what you want to do. I may have to wait, it might take a long time, but you know, I'm available to you because my heart is in tune with yours. I'm looking for you, God, because I'm going to be where you are, my presence into your present. God, I'm listening to what you have to say. I'm coming closer. I'm practicing spending time with you. And then finally, I'm making a positive move. I'm responding by giving myself, presenting myself as a living sacrifice to you. So maybe as we end this year and as we're ready to move into the next one, this is our time to get ready to make our own commitment to him and to step in to his presence by offering ourselves. You were given a coloured piece of ribbon tie there. As we finish today, ask somebody next to you to tie it on your finger, to make a little bow that you are the present back to God. You are his offering today, that you're giving yourself back to him in these moments. So let's just take a moment in the quietness. If we've got any music, we'll play that as well. But present yourself as a living sacrifice. Tie it onto one of your fingers. I'm the present that I'm offering to you, God, today. Let's get ready.